outstanding content, but when it's time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to latalkradio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
This station presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today, we salute you, Mr. Once a Year Romantic.
Mr. Once a Year Romantic.
You bought her the flowers, the chocolates, and paid for dinner. But now, Valentine's Day is over, so it's back to your usual Whitman sampler of slovenly, unkept, unromantic behavior.
I love you. Now be quiet. The game is on.
A whole night of not checking out women's butts. Impressive.
At least I didn't get caught looking at their chest. Yeah.
So the next time you witness a man take a woman out on that special night, and the next day go right back to taking her for granted, nod your head in acknowledged insensitivity to Mr. Once a Year Romantic, a real American hero.
Mr. Once a Year Romantic.
Because nothing says I love you like, woman, get me another beer.
Get ready for the best morning show on any kind of radio. Broadcasting live from the palatial studios of LA Talk Radio, get ready for Sam and Kara in the morning. Give Sam and Kara a call at 323-203-0815. And now, here are your hosts, Sam and Kara.
Good morning and welcome to Tuesday, February 15th, post-Valentine's Day. And hopefully everybody got to get laid last night. Good morning, Kira. This is our anniversary show, as you reminded me this morning.
But we're going to celebrate it later this
week. We'll celebrate later because we were totally unprepared for this.
We both forgot. Wow.
And so we forgot
to
announce.
So let's say Friday. Can we do Friday?
Well, we'll go for Friday, I guess.
So Friday's.
What about Thursday?
Okay, do you want to do Thursday?
We'll discuss it and we'll see. But we'll announce it on Facebook.
See, we can't even decide when we're going to do our substitute anniversary show. We're just that laid back about it.
Yeah. But congratulations to us. You know, I mean, I salute you for sticking around for a year.
Wow.
That's pretty good, actually. That's dedication.
You know, it's been fun. As much as I make jokes about it, I mean, I love it.
Yeah.
I really do.
Do you? You still love it, huh?
I mean, there's days like this morning, because I partied last night after work. They had a big throwdown. I'm like, why am I getting up?
Yeah.
And I even texted Sam and sent him a message. I was like, you're still in San Diego, right? You're still like celebrating Valentine's Day. He's like, no, we're doing the show. I was like, just making sure. Okay. There's been some mornings where you're like,
I know. I mean, I didn't feel very well yesterday, and this morning I still woke up a little sick and stuff, and so I was entertaining the thought of not coming in, but, you know, you got to think of the listeners, too, you know?
Yeah, well, there's a...
And if every day that I didn't feel like coming in because I wanted to sleep in or something, then we'd never be here, you know?
Yeah.
So we need some discipline, and,
you
know, but there's... There's great results from this.
Mm.
So, I mean, I remember last year we started in February, and then in March we got that Frontier 50 from Talkers Magazine.
Yeah.
So, remember, it was like right after we started, which was really cool. It was like in March. This year it might be later, but I hope they notice us again. They better.
Well, Sam, you've threatened them, you've bashed them, and you've put it out there. So we'll see what happens. I don't know if you played our cards very well, but, you know, Let the talent and the cream rise to the top. So
yeah,
the right show.
And besides, we don't need their approval.
No, but we would like it. So, like I said, put a fresh spin on that, Sam. Just reword all that, okay? Just you know.
Yeah.
Sam can't hide what he feels, which I like that about you.
That's true. I can't.
You really don't. Which I really like that about you, though.
Yeah.
It's kind of awkward and funny sometimes, but sometimes I'm just like, well, at least I know. So Sam's like, I'm really mad at them for not putting us on this place, but I'm not going to say who it is, but I hope they recognize us again. We don't freaking need them, but I hope that they do. It's like, have you seen the movie Up?
Yeah. Yeah,
it's like a dog that can't, he's got that thing around his vocal cords. He only says how he feels.
I don't remember that.
It's a little dog that he speaks his feelings. He's like,
feeling.
I was scared and I hid under the house and I love you. And he's a little dog.
Why don't I remember that?
It's the cutest thing. That's like you, Sam. You're yeah. like, we don't really need you, but you better recognize us, and I'm still mad. But yeah. okay, bye.
Exactly.
It's anyway, that's funny.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we'll see. Stay tuned for that. We'll stay tuned for that.
Yeah.
And our real anniversary show will be later this week, which we'll announce sometime tomorrow or today on Facebook. Stay tuned.
Okay. So what's going to be special about it?
I mean, I would like to have some past guests on, some callers, okay. and then, you know, maybe we can replay some fun clips. I don't know.
Where am I going to find the clips now? Oh. You know what that means is going through shows, show after show to find
oh, really?
Something. Yeah.
Well,
it's better when we save clips as we go along, and maybe I should start thinking about that, you know?
Yeah, year like, in, that's 200-something clips. We just should start thinking about it. We need to go back and do a little bit of
yeah, that's
highlights.
A lot of
clips. I mean, like, just a few. I could probably find some.
Yeah?
Yeah, I'll tell you what show it is and what portion to what portion.
Yeah.
And
that's true, because we do have the summaries on the page, so you can tell pretty
yeah.
much what happened during the show.
Yeah, and
but,
Sam
you know,
got
I mean,
in a fight today, and they made up.
That some funny things, you know, you may not be able to tell just from the summary, you know. Sometimes, I mean, we say a lot of funny things here. But, yeah, whatever.
Anyway,
clips, whatever.
Whatever,
doesn't
just
matter.
Just stay tuned. It's going to be epic.
Yeah.
It's going to be epic.
Don't you guys just like how organized we are?
It's going to be massive. You can see how excited Sam is.
Yeah.
I got dissed. Sam's 3-year LA Talk Radio was a big deal. And then Kara and Sam in the morning, or Sam, excuse me, Sam and Kara in the morning.
Yes.
1-year anniversary goes unmissed. He's like, yeah, oh, you're still here. Shit.
Yeah.
Okay.
She's
well.
Asking me this morning, when's our anniversary? And I'm thinking, I go, today.
You know? He's like, you're still showing up? Okay, we'll roll with it.
Yeah, February 15th, man. Wow.
Man.
It doesn't seem that long.
It doesn't
huh?
seem that long, no.
No.
I can't believe that. It's like 200-something shows, though, right?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, that's what we counted. Definitely over 200 shows.
Oh, my gosh. And they're all online to download, right?
To listen to for years.
God.
Yeah.
It means I'm in so much trouble. If I ever make it big, when
yeah.
I make it big.
Well, don't let anybody know, then.
Come on.
Besides what? I mean, you've never said anything you're ashamed of.
No, it's just there's stuff that you can take out of context. There's tons of stuff that you can, you know, spin and... When anybody, you know, everybody, when anyone actually says what they think and feel and believe
mm-hmm.
on a big level where lots of people hear you,
mm-hmm.
you know, you're going to just offend people.
Yeah.
And you're going to not be liked by certain people. And because all your stuff's out, your cards are out. You
right.
know?
Yeah. But no, I mean, you should be proud of what you're doing. I would not be ashamed of it.
No, I'm not ashamed. I'm just
you know,
saying it's just vulnerable. It's vulnerable. And right now I'm not a big deal. So nobody's taking me to the cleaners. I'm just saying, when I make my first huge,
I understand
you know,
that, but it's still not going to get in the way. I mean, I think it's always going to be something you're proud of, you know? I mean, you never, like, did anything that you're ashamed of. I don't think you ever said anything that made you look bad.
Well, I mean, I've shared a lot of personal stories and things
so,
like that.
So, I mean, so what? I mean, people appreciate that, you know?
Claire and Sarah came in and we talked about
when
girl
you're,
stuff.
Well, you're, when you're
funny,
in
though.
The... I mean, when you're in the limelight and everything, then you're not going to have anything private anyway.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
So I guess this is like a...
Yeah, it's your life out there.
Did you guys hear that? You guys were all in training together.
If anything, I think you're going to love this. You know, play it for your kids, your grandkids.
Oh.
Let them know what you were into when you were young. But, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, there's that. So this has
yeah.
been... So a year as of today...
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel?
I feel very, very good about the show.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I think we've had a good run.
Are you surprised?
No. Well, I don't know. No, I never expected
through,
this not to last.
Well, you went through so many hosts, huh?
Not so many. I mean, 4, you know, that's not too many.
But auditioning people, and you said you were looking for months for hosts.
Yeah, that's true,
and
yeah.
Then, yeah.
It does take a long time to find someone that clicks, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, and we clicked somehow. You know?
We forced it. It's got a forced connection, a forced click. We're like, we're going to make this shit work. We're going to figure it out. That's okay. I'm going to act like you didn't say that. No, I'm going to act like you did say that one. That one's going down.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. But, you know, for two people that are so different, I think we've gotten along great, you know?
I think you're right. And,
yeah, you know, so it shows we are professionals. We know what the mm-hmm. hell we're doing. And, you know.
Yeah.
And we keep celebrating ourselves.
That's true. And we're like, hey, anybody going to jump on our wagon? No? Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. So you guys are welcome to come in, to call in if you want. It's okay. We don't bite.
Mm.
So if anybody feels like that. So it was Valentine's Day yesterday, and my wife got 2 dozen roses yesterday.
Aww.
And that was delivered directly to her. And that was very unusual for me. I never do those things, you know. But I thought I'm really going to, like, go out this time and really make the effort.
Mm. So you got her.
So, because I'm so, like, anti-Valentine's Day and stuff, you know.
Yeah.
That. So, but, you know, I mean, the thing is you can't only think of yourself. You got to think of the other person as well. And if you think it's going to make him happy, then you do it. And and plus the act of giving always makes me feel very good, you know, especially when you surprise someone. It's a great feeling to see them full of joy and stuff, you know.
So you got her 2 dozen roses?
Right.
Aww.
Yeah. And what she gave me is a trip alone to San Diego for the weekend.
So, yeah. So, Sam, tell them how hooked up you are.
Yeah, I'm pretty hooked up, man. I've got a wife that trusts me, believe it or not.
And she just
and
sent you
off.
And
for a good reason.
And yeah, and she just sent you off to San Diego. I said, how was your trip with your wife? He goes, no, she stayed and worked. I went to San Diego by myself. I said, you what? What?
Yeah, you couldn't believe it, huh?
He goes, no, I just went by myself. I'm like, no, what? On Valentine's Day?
Well, it wasn't Valentine's Day until yesterday, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So it has nothing to do with Valentine's Day. It has to do with me wanting to get away, and you know that.
I've
been wanting to get away for months.
Uh-huh.
So a couple of days alone, you know, some peaceful surroundings and stuff, you know, sitting by the pool, sitting by the water on the rocks.
Yeah.
It was pretty nice. It was very peaceful.
And then San Diego is really nice.
Yeah, San Diego is nice. But, you know, it's not like I toured the whole city and stuff. Hmm. The moment I got there, it's like there were like millions of people on the streets, and I couldn't realize why. And then I found out it was because it was some kind of an aviation anniversary for the Navy.
Oh,
and, you know,
wow.
They've got a big naval base there and everything.
Wow.
So they had an air show.
Oh, cool.
And everybody came out and stuff. So
I love military men. I wish I'd have gotten the memo on that one.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, next time. Next time.
Well, move to San Diego. There's a lot of soldiers there, I'm sure.
I like the concept of it, you know.
Yeah.
I like the concept. I dated a military guy.
Yeah.
It was
That's
fun.
That's true. You
he was a fun guy.
That.
He was really fun.
Yeah.
Cool guy.
But are they
manly.
Married to their job?
It depends on where they are in their career. I mean, he's kind of at the end of his career. He's moving on to other stuff. But so he had like a lot of free time.
Right.
But he'd already done a lot of traveling and been stationed in all these different crazy places, and I was meeting him at the end of that.
Yeah.
So I think if you're probably starting up or you're in the middle of it, you're probably going to be not stationed. You're just going to be very all over the place.
Mm. Okay.
So that's probably a thing to think about.
So you're just attracted to them. You're not sure that you could carry a relationship with one.
Well, people are people individually, so you're not really ever having a relationship with their profession. You're having a relationship with them.
Right.
But, I mean, as far as, you know, what it represents, it's sexy, you know, big man, like,
Yeah, but, I mean, you know, I think people in the military define themselves by it, you know. So.
Some do. I know some that don't.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But I think that some of them have had such huge life-defining careers or moments that a lot of people haven't. I mean, for example, those Australians we had on, it was Luke, who, you know, he was served in the military in Afghanistan with, the Australian troops.
Mm-hmm.
And he was just saying how the stuff that he's seen and everything, it just shakes you so much. And it's just so heavy, and it's all life and death issues that when you come back, you're different.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And there's no way it can't define you. So he's like, I'm going to Vegas. I'm going with my mates. I'm going to go have fun. We're going to do this.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to go into different. And for him, I think there maybe was a little heaviness, but there's a lot of zest for life, you know, because of what he experienced.
Yeah, but I think that's people that have been in combat, you know. But, I mean, the people that are not, I think they're very, you know, they're very proud of what they do.
Yeah.
You know, obviously, you know, that's one of the benefits of serving your country is being proud of what you do.
Mm-hmm. So I want to bring up a subject.
Mm-hmm.
It's very heavy. It's very deep.
Yeah.
Okay.
Do we want to talk about Valentine's Day, though, still?
Yeah, let's talk about Valentine's
Day. Okay, let's just finish that. So that was that. And so I sent her the roses, and I got a nice... I got the trip.
Yeah.
So,
Get them? Did she get it? She got two dozen roses.
Yeah, she got them, and she loved them.
Oh, okay.
As expected, and Yeah, so everybody was good.
She get a massage or anything like that, or did you?
No massage. But you know, I mean, I don't know. At what point do you stop? You know, I mean.
Yeah, two dozen roses isn't cheap, is it?
No, and but that's not the. I mean, that's not the issue. What I'm thinking is that you know you. Like Chris Brown was saying, you know, you got to do this all year long, not during the year.
I think it's okay. I think to have days that recognize, you know, and affirm your love. I think that's great, but it's not. I mean, the concept of now's the time to be this way and then not be the way this way is right. different. But you know, you've got to find there's maintenance, you know, and you've got to run a race with endurance. You've got to be able to do it.
Yeah.
You can't be dishing it out like you're like, oh, gosh, a weekend. I'm freaking tired. I'm broke.
Yeah.
No, but you got to, you know, periodically do some stuff.
Yeah. No, definitely. Definitely. And,
yeah.
And you got to show each other that you're not taking them for granted.
Yeah.
Know? And that. So
people love to feel appreciated. It's so crucial. It's part of respect. It's connected to love. It's like feeling appreciated is huge. People people work harder. They give more if they feel appreciated.
Yeah.
They want to work for you.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm probably never going to have, well, that's not necessarily true, but I'm not going to have a traditional business in my life, probably. I mean, when you're doing your own thing, you kind of are your own business because you have people working for you and this, that, and the other. But I think about business owners and companies, and I think the best way to get people to really work hard and do good is get people excited that they're part of a team and that they're going to be rewarded. And that they're intricately connected to the results and they're not disposable.
Mm-hmm.
I think that makes people feel, it breeds respect for their employer. There's a camaraderie with workers. And I think that, you know, the benefits and results of you know, their labor is greater, you know?
Yeah.
I don't like
it. No, definitely. I mean, you've got to be appreciated, you know? I mean, a few years ago, I had a really nasty boss. And he would make me feel like shit. And I realized that I'm starting to write things to him that I never normally would write, you know. And I realized that he's bringing out the worst part in me.
Mm.
So I took off and left, you know. But so you're right in the way that you have to be appreciated. You have to feel you're part of something.
Yeah.
You know, and for many people, it's even more important than the money.
Yeah.
When it comes to a job, you know, because you have to spend many hours there.
Mm-hmm.
So,
like a good friend of mine, she does executive assistant work and administrative, like management work, and she's really good at what she does. But she's like, Kara, you know, it's not enough. I need to feel like I'm doing something good for people and for the business I'm working for. She's like, right now, I feel like I'm kind of like a peg in a big machine that I don't even know what the machine does. I don't know. She works for an investment company. She's like, I don't even know all the companies we own. I don't feel like I'm working towards a common goal with people.
Right.
And it's like, even though she makes good money and she's good at what she does, she doesn't have the end in sight. She doesn't have that camaraderie. She's not having those relational connections with people. And so you just start to feel like, why am I?
Yeah, she's not going to last there very long.
No, she's already looking for other stuff. But it's part of that giving people hope and a vision, kind of even in the workplace. Like, you know, for example, my little part-time job at this restaurant, the bus boys and the food runners, a lot of them are from a place, a lot of them are from the same city in Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
And they just are such hard workers. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, some work harder than others, but they're really good at what they do. And you just really want to praise them. You really want to tell them, man, you guys are awesome. You're working so hard. You're so good at what you're doing. And because honestly, if they didn't work as hard as they did, I mean, it would slow down everything and we wouldn't have as good a service as we would. And they're doing work that, like, I can't lift this shit. I'm not going to. you know, but it's just, my point is it's something that you just learn to, people start to beam. They start to feel appreciated.
Yeah.
So my Valentine's Day, I worked.
You worked.
And I woke up and I was like, oh, we should make cupcakes. Or I really wanted, like, a really cool dessert.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, you know, today's dessert day. Today's, like, a big chocolate sundae or something like that, you know? None of that happened, Sam.
No?
I didn't get one dessert yesterday.
Wow. Why
no.
is that?
Because I got busy. I didn't get around to getting it. So when I walked in this morning at cookies, I was like, better late than never.
I'll have a cookie.
Better late than never.
Yeah.
So I worked yesterday.
Yeah. Were you busy? I mean, were there a lot of people there?
It was
there?
95% of the people were all, it was just two tops. So it was all just couples. So we had to actually change our whole seating arrangements to take out a lot of the tables of fours and just accommodate two tops. And it was fun, you know, you see people on their little dates and stuff and you kind of, you look at them and this, that, and the other. And we had a prefix menu that was quite expensive. So we weren't offering our normal menu. Some people didn't know that. So they go to sit down with their date or whatever, and they're like, oh, my gosh, $75 a person.
Right. What do they expect, though? I mean, you know, it's Valentine's Day. I think everybody knows.
Well, what we found
they should listen to our show. Then they would have known.
Yeah. Well, what we found were people that were inviting guests to come, like if they had a larger, like four top or three top or whatever. They didn't know. Like, they didn't tell their guests it was a prefix. And so then we had that problem of now they're leaving. And, you know, it's a little, I don't know, do you think $75 for a four-course meal
per person?
Per person at a nice, nice restaurant is expensive?
Yeah.
At a nice restaurant? Like,
well, yeah.
I mean, in the big scheme of things.
I guess not. I guess not, you know? I mean,
it's reasonable for what you're getting, right?
Right.
Like, we're talking five-star
type. I don't know if it's reasonable. All I'm saying is, relatively speaking, you know, when you compare it with other restaurants or the normal prices.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would imagine your normal prices are probably around that anyway, right?
Well, it's not people's bills, it's just that there's not a prefix. So what happens is people can order the entree, which is around $30, right? Mm-hmm. And the entree does come with like sides.
Right.
And there's $30. But if you want to do wine, obviously wine adds so much to your bill.
Right.
And then if you want to do apps or desserts.
Right.
That adds more to your bill.
Mm-hmm.
But you have the option of getting out of there without spending as much.
Right. Okay.
Whereas $75 is a minimum, and then you have to pay for any of your beverages and wine.
Yeah.
And
no, I guess for your clientele, it's not a lot, really, because, I mean,
you're not going to Denny's.
Yeah,
that's
$40
a person.
That was $40, yeah. If Denny's is $40, then $75
is
not bad.
If Denny's is charging you $40 for a Grand Slam on Valentine's Day.
Well, you don't know. Maybe they had a special menu, too, you know.
They probably did.
Yeah.
And who knows if it was, like, all across the board or if it was just this one specific Denny's.
Yeah. Yeah. And remember, not everybody can afford expensive restaurants, you know. I mean, I can imagine many couples just wanted to go out. They can't really afford anything. So they go to Denny's. I mean, it's not the end of the world, you know. At least you go out.
Yeah. Well, the fun thing was for me last night is that we had our chef de cuisine. It was her last day of work there.
Mm-hmm.
So we had a back alley party. So we went in we went into the parking lot, and they set up music. And we had all this great Mexican, like ceviche, and then guacamole and chips, and then tacos. And then we had two piñatas. And we just
piñatas
had...
Piñatas inside? Inside the restaurant?
No, this was in the parking lot.
Oh, okay.
This was all outside the parking lot.
Okay.
And we were just having so much fun.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, Mexican people can party.
Yeah.
Well, they're just, like, so down home. They brought masks, like Mardi Gras masks, some beads for everybody, and we had tons of these Jello shots.
Uh-huh.
It was so much fun.
Really?
And so I didn't really spend, obviously didn't have a lovey-dovey Valentine's, but I got my dance on, had a couple drinks.
Right.
Had ceviche. Have you ever had a ceviche?
No.
Oh, my gosh, it's so good.
Really?
It's basically shrimp, and then sometimes they'll put in different types of seafood with it, and it's cured with, like, lime juice. And then there's like cilantro and onions and all these different spices. And it's just like this really great kind of...
Sounds interesting. Yeah.
Really good. You can eat with the chips or by itself or whatever on salad. It's so good.
Yeah.
So yeah, I had a really good time with that. And then went home and crashed and woke up and thought maybe Sam's still in San Diego.
Yeah. So now, did it bother you didn't have a Valentine for yesterday?
I mean,
did you think about it at all?
You know, not really, no.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that... you know, I'm kind of busy.
Yeah.
I'm always
going. I mean, you could have had one if you wanted.
Yeah, I was asked out, but I told you guys that I declined because I was working, and I was like, that's pressure. You know, Valentine's Day is a pressured day if you're a pressured date if you're not really in a relationship, don't you think?
That's true, yeah.
Like, and especially if you're not sure where you are with someone, like I've kind of been hanging with this person, having a great time, but I'm not ready to go there on any other level than that.
Yeah.
I mean, I like the person, but it's not there. It's a slow burn.
Right.
And then Valentine's hits, and you're like, shit, what am I supposed to do?
Yeah, it's like too soon.
And there's kind of like, we're like a few dates in, and we haven't done anything at all, like no kissing or anything. So I definitely feel pressured.
Yeah.
I'm like, shit.
Yeah, I wouldn't, yeah.
And not that like I don't want to or do, I'm just not totally connected there.
Right, right.
So... You put Valentine's on top of that, and everybody's wearing red, and there's roses, and you're getting, you know, you're, you know, and then I'd feel guilty for the cost of the food, like, you know. Yeah. I'd be like, damn, this guy's spending a lot of money, and he's not getting any action. He doesn't know that part yet, though. I'll just keep him guessing. No, I'm just playing. So I didn't think about that. There was, I think it is a sweet day, though. I mean, you see little lovebirds and stuff, and you know, or people trying to be lovebirds.
Yeah. But it's crazy, you know. I mean, all the money that people spend on Valentine's Day, it's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it's all created by the industry, you know that.
Yeah, but I think it's a sweet day, though.
Yeah.
I mean, people specifically, I think especially LA, but people want to have an excuse to have a good time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't care if it's a money market day. It's still an excuse to get together with people and have food and dance or hang out or talk. Or chat, you know?
Yeah.
At the end of the day, that's fun.
Yeah, but you can do that every day.
You can, but a lot of people don't. And then when it's like there's a vibe in the air and everybody's like, yeah, it's a holiday. Woo, yeah. Pink and red, yeah. Love you, love you, love you. You know, it's fun.
Yeah.
It's like you're not pulling the wool over anyone's eyes. Everyone knows, you know, the Hallmark's making a lot of money off of this. And so are the candy industry and whoever
else. The flowers and the restaurants.
Lingerie and industry.
And greeting cards and just about everybody, yeah.
Yeah. So there you go. But it's still fun. I'll do it.
He'll do it.
Yeah. I've never had a relationship on the Valentine's Day time.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So I've never really had that, like.
No big deal. It's just another day, you know? Come on.
Yeah. But I mean, it'd be fun.
And it's by choice, too, I'm sure. If you wanted, you could have a lot of guys.
Oh, well, I'm talking about like a relationship.
I see, like a full-on relationship.
Yeah.
Well, you haven't been on that many, right?
No, I've had a few.
Yeah.
And just, you know, I was in a long relationship.
So it was never on Valentine's Day.
Well, I was in a long-term relationship, but that was long distance.
Right.
The guy in Texas.
So you couldn't really do anything, yeah.
See, it was always, we just weren't with each other during that time.
Yeah.
And then, yeah. So I got my jam on last night, woke up. And came here, but I want to ask you something. So, laying all joking aside.
Okay. Can we do that?
No, which means we're going to do it. We've talked about this before, but I've just noticed it. Okay. So, I believe, and it's not a personal attack on anyone. I just think this is a mentality within maybe more of the States than Europe or something like that, is big breast discrimination. Hear me out, because I'm a victim of it.
Oh, really?
I've been a victim of big No, but I'm telling you, I've seen it throughout the years, but just kind of putting it together.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not talking about, you know, me wearing low-cut clothing or going out clubbing or, you know, I'm wearing that kind of clothing. Okay, that's its own thing. That's, you know, you're putting it out there, whatever.
Right.
Okay. But what I am talking about is, like, for example, the workplace. This place that I work at.
Right.
It's an upscale restaurant, and hostesses wear normal clothing. They don't wear uniforms. And you're supposed to look elegant, kind of classy or whatever. And I obviously am built on the top, like gigantic. Seriously. I mean, compared to most people, gigantic. Okay? And I say that because I love it. I'm grateful, but it is... a hassle.
It is what it is.
It's a hassle. It's like there's two sides to everything, right?
Right.
And I've been like approached so many times by like this manager that I work with, and you know, basically like to tighten it up, like change my clothing options, right?
Is that a woman or a man?
It's a girl.
It's a girl. Okay.
And I think that she's just being cautious. You know what I mean? I think she's doing her job and being cautious, but I think that there's a little bit of something else there, possibly. I'm not sure. But what I'm saying is, after some of it, you know, changing my attire, because I have changed my attire, after some of that, I start to feel so self-conscious when I go to work. Like, I'm wearing something that I'm now putting scarves over my chest, like wearing scarves.
Yeah.
I'm trying to wear coats that cover, because I don't have a lot of, I don't have a lot of that business clothing anymore because I don't do it. And then I don't have all that high clothing. I mean, and then I'm looking at the other hosts. I'm Lynette, and I'm looking at this manager. Their necklines on their shirts and their tops and their dresses go way lower than my neckline.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but they don't have boobs. They don't have huge boobs.
Right.
So, like, she bends down. I can see her bra. My other friend yesterday, who's my roommate, she wears this gorgeous red dress that's a plunging neckline, like deeply there, you know, even lower than the breast, almost to the top of your stomach.
Right, yeah.
But she's, like, a size A. Right. She's really small. Like, right. There's nothing, right?
Right.
And no one's saying anything to her. Right. This other girl, no one's saying anything to her. The manager, you can see her bra sometimes. No one's saying anything to her. And then I wear something that's just fitted.
Right.
Fitted. And there's some cleavage, but it's like, it's still, my neckline's pretty high. But there's right. cleavage. And it's like, I'm under freaking scrutiny. Mm. And it's just like, there's a mentality. And I'm not saying that I'm just saying it's culturally bred where it's like, if you're built a certain way, it's like you're automatically bad or something. You know what I mean? You're looked at as though you're offensive. You're like, you're trying to do something. And I'm like, this is not right. You know, it's not right that I'm wearing this dress that, you know, like yesterday I was trying to cover it up and I'm like, no, screw this. Like my neckline is up to here. Mm. I still have cleavage even with like a high neckline and I have big boobs. Mm. There's no way around it. You know, I can't change that, you know, unless I lose like a bazillion pounds, which isn't going to happen.
Right.
You know, it's not going to change. And I walked in one day wearing this really pretty white dress and I had pinned the center of the dress to kind of cover up some of the opening, you know, the cleavage. And she was just like, yeah, that's just too much. And I'm thinking, like, look at you. Look at her. I mean, you guys just don't have big chests.
Yeah.
It just makes me so pissed.
So, do you think it's only her opinion or?
No, I don't.
No?
No,
I've seen that before?
No, I think that, like, it's a mentality. I mean, some people are celebratory of things like this and some people are offended. I think it's funny that you've got these girls wearing, like, it's not that they look classy, but they're wearing really revealing, like, low cut things, but there's nothing coming out,
right.
You know? And then you've got me, who's like, you know, middle of the road wearing clothes or whatever. But I'm like, even if you see some cleavage, that's like 2% of my breasts.
Right.
The 8% is covered. It's just a lot of freaking boobs.
Right, yeah. But, and, you know, I mean, the thing is that, you know, it is different because think even outside the workplace, you know. Mm-hmm. A girl that has very small boobs, she can walk around without a bra and nobody barely notices. But if you went around without a bra, people would notice. So that's what I'm saying.
But it's a weird punishment because I'm saying is like it's a weird kind of thing to go, you know, these girls are wearing this and I walk in and it's like, there's boobs. Mm. Hide your kids. Hide your husband. Hide your grandma. Don't look at her. It's like a weird attitude. Like you're already bad.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I'm not saying it's this girl's issue. I think it's culturally. And like some of my friends are like, yeah, they're not like that in Europe.
Mm.
Or they're in Canada. They're like, we're not like that.
Yeah.
You know? And I don't know if that's a U.S. thing or what. But
yeah, I just think it's because it's a woman. You know, if it was a guy, he wouldn't mind, I'm sure. You know?
No, I wasn't. It wasn't. I don't know. I don't know if it's her issue or not. I mean, clearly, I have to do something about it because I work there and I want to keep my job. But
right. Yeah.
I just.
She might actually be jealous. You know?
I don't think she's jealous. I just think that she's overly cautious about stuff. Mm. And I think she may have a prejudice and she doesn't realize it. Mm. Like an unconscious bias. You know what I mean? When somebody, they're like, because sexuality or, you know, looking sexy, even if you're not trying to be that way, evokes a response in people.
Right.
You know, and it's an uncontrolled, it's like an involuntary response. So if you walk in and you're like, whoa, you know, it's people like, wait a minute, too much attention. You're getting too much attention.
Mm.
But I've noticed this string of things, right? So I've got that going on. I'm really playful at work, even though it's a really nice restaurant. I am all about have fun. No matter where you are, have fun. Like, get through the day. Let's have a good time.
Yeah.
So I play around with the busboys. I mean, I'm not like not doing my job, but I'll be like, yo, what's up, homie? Punch it up. Give me a slap down. Boom. Work it out. Talk to you later. And I'll, you know, play around with everyone and stuff.
Right.
And she's like, okay, you just need to be quieter, okay? Because we're in a restaurant.
Yeah.
Can you just, there's guests right there, okay? And it's funny to me because, and not that she's not right, but it's just funny because it's like, I get in trouble. The only places I don't get in trouble is when I'm on stage.
Yeah.
Do you know what that feels like to like, only when you're I only feel like everything in me that is, everyone's always trying to push into you. They're trying to harness. They're trying to like shut it up a bit. And then you get on stage and it's like, now be all those things and it's okay and you don't get in trouble.
Right.
Like that's why I know I'm made to do that stuff. Because it's like I go there, it fits, it works, I have a blast, and people receive it. And every other job I have, it's like you're singing, you're talking too loud, your boobs are too big, people like you too much, you're too loud, you're getting too much attention. I'm like, oh my gosh. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, so it's because I just don't, I'm not a company man. I can't fit into this whole, like, you know.
Yeah. Well, yeah, exactly. Maybe
I'm trying.
Don't
I want my job, you know?
Out, you know.
I want to keep my job. I don't want, you know, I'm not trying to be, you know, like, not conforming, but it's just.
Yeah,
funny.
I don't think. Yeah, I think they just don't want the waitress to stand out, you know, because the restaurant, you know, it's not about the.
Oh, I understand.
The servers, you know, it's about the guests.
Oh, I understand, but I think that, you know. I don't know. I think that
you know, and I think if you went in there with a little cleavage and you had nice, healthy boobs, some women might, you know, get jealous and stuff. You know, so.
I think that's so weird to me. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like there's gorgeous women or dime a dozen here. I just think the whole jealousy thing. It's like if you're gonna get jealous of this person, you got to get jealous of everyone else because there's always gonna be someone that, and it's frequent here.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It's not like you live in the little town. And there's one hot person that gets all the guys. This place breeds and manufactures people to be hot, you know?
Mm, yeah.
So you can't, it's like, I don't know. I become kind of desensitized to it,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah.
But no, I think there might be an issue that this person has, but I don't know. I mean, either way, it doesn't matter. I work there and I have to kind of figure it out, but, it's just weird.
Yeah.
I started realizing this is just not right. Cause I'm like, I'm trying to wear a scarf. I'm trying to wear a sweater. And I'm like, for what? I'm trying to hide my shape now. It's not even cleavage. I'm trying to hide my,
right.
I'm like, I'm not going to not have big boobs, you know? And then like, she comes up to me at one point the other day and pulls up my top, like touches it and pulls it up. And she's a sweet girl, so I wasn't rude to her, but I almost said, get your hands off.
That's not appropriate.
That's not appropriate. And I know she's just kind of young and everything. And
yeah. Well, if you get fired for boobage, you know, we're going to have to do something about that.
Yeah.
You know?
Take it to the whoever.
Yeah.
Who wants to take
big breast discrimination?
I've been a victim of big breast discrimination. But yeah. I've noticed this because when I was in, I went on a choir trip in high school, and there was a girl who was just so developed way early, and you know, she just was a big, large girl and had big boobs, and she's wearing a tank top with a bra, like a tank top, and this other girl's wearing a tank top that's flat chested, and she was told she had to go change.
Really?
Yeah, and I'm like, that's not right.
Wow.
You know, it's like there's like a punishing. You're like mad at them. You know, you're mad
exactly.
at them. It's like, what's wrong with you? You're being too sexy. It's like, no, you're just.
Yeah, you're like a freak or something.
Yeah, you know? Like, what's wrong with you? You're bad. It's like it's like bred into you, too.
Yeah, that's true.
Isn't that weird?
It is. It is. Well, just get over it and just.
Well, I'm talking about it because I'm telling you guys how I feel.
No. I'm just saying it in a good way. You know, just, you know, don't pay attention. If they decide you're not appropriate for the place, then you're not, you know. But, you know. We'll sue their asses.
We will. Thanks, Sam. You'll take this to the court with me?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, big breast discrimination. Anybody else out there been victimized by big breast discrimination? Have you been looked down upon or have you been judged or reprimanded in your life or in your workplace? We want to hear about it.
Yeah.
Call lawyer Sam and Kara.
Drop us a line. Tell us of your big boob story.
Yeah, call us today. We want to hear. We want to take your claim. We'll take your claim all the way to court. We'll get you the money.
Yeah, that could actually make you pretty rich. Why not?
I mean, I could see it being a really high publicity. You know.
Oh yeah, you'd get famous overnight.
Yeah. it's just weird, you know. It's just a weird thing. But anyway, there's worse things in life to complain about.
And I'm sure. Yeah. Exactly. I'm sure your boobs have always been a topic of conversation. So.
Well, it's interesting because there were these two documentaries done. I think it was by BBC. And it was called Me and My Small Breasts. And then one was called Me and My Large Breasts.
Really?
Yes. And I think the one, if you watch Me and My Small Breasts, it makes you want to have large breasts. And then if you watch Me and My Big Breasts, it makes you want to have small breasts.
Really?
Because
they're showing the ugly part of it.
Well, it just shows you like from this side, this is what you feel like you're missing. And from this side, this is what you feel like you're missing. Mm. Now, the girl with Me and My Big Breasts, she talks about, she's getting a breast reduction. She just talks about how it's always a joke. Her boobs are always a joke. She goes to a restaurant with a group of friends and stuff. It always comes up so-and-so with big boobs or... You kind of are thought of as a little dumb, a little bit like dumber.
Right.
You know,
I'm
big boobs. You're kind of thought of as stupider. And these things that you don't even realize that are just kind of like bred into the culture and the fabric of the way people view that.
Right.
You start to realize it. And then by the end of this documentary, I'm like, I'm getting a breast reduction. Like you really start to feel so mad.
Right.
You're so mad.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, use it to your advantage. I think you do. You know.
Well, I'm not just a a client, I mean, a president, I'm also a client, and I definitely enjoy, I think they're beautiful. I think it's, yeah. You know, I also see the good side, and I have fun, right. And I like wearing certain dresses and stuff.
Yeah, exactly, and people that don't know you, fuck them, you know, who cares, you know?
Fuck them!
Yeah.
But it's just interesting, yeah. So... Yep.
Yeah, I can see the headline, you know, a woman fired from a restaurant for having big boobs.
Yeah.
That would be good. You'd take like Gloria Allred or something to protect you or to defend you, and that would be good.
Yeah.
Yeah. You'd win big time.
Mm-hmm.
She's the biggest ball buster ever.
Really? Gloria Allred? Yeah. What other cases has she done? She did the...
She did a lot of them. I don't even remember.
It's also something I've noticed is if you're...
Didn't she do the Octomom
thing? Did she?
Yeah, I think she did with her. Yeah, whatever it was. Go on.
Well, I think there's something about like a woman that has a body, like a lot of body.
Right.
It evokes something in people.
Mm-hmm.
It's like almost provocative and interesting and kind of like if you think about Christina Hendricks, do you know who she is? She's the redhead, very, very voluptuous on Mad Men, the TV show. She's very, very curvy.
Okay, go
ahead. But that's kind of her handle a bit in Hollywood is that, you know, she was told to lose weight over and over and over and over and over. And she got cast in this role where she's built like a brick house, like just very Marilyn Monroe, but definitely on screen bigger than her you know, co-stars.
Right.
I'm sure she's like a size 8 in real life. She's 6 or something. She's probably not even big. I don't know.
Yeah.
But she just has that figure. And, you know, she walks the red carpet and everybody wants to look at this woman because she's just like, it evokes something in you because it's like so much woman.
Right.
You know? And it's all the right parts and it's just the way she carries herself. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of feel that there's something in that kind of sexuality with that, or that sexual power. There's like a power in it that people are drawn. They want to look, whether or not they like it or not is different, but they want to look.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And I think that sometimes people are stressed out by that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Makes sense.
Because I went into work the other day and I thought, I was like, I feel very classy. I had my hair up. It was a little French twist. I had a nice shawl on and I had a pink, pretty kind of sweetheart neckline kind of top with a long black skirt and a belt. And it looked kind of 50s a bit, but it was, you know, everything was pulled up and stuff. And, you know, it was just the girls were just.
You just waltzed in there. I feel good.
No. Anyway, enough about me, but I thought it was an interesting
topic. So is that the serious thing you wanted to talk about? I see. Okay. Well, it is pretty serious.
Well, it's actually not. I mean, it's not. Well, it's just something interesting.
It is to you. I mean,
I'm just putting my. I'm just now starting to put my kind of wrap my brain around it, going, oh, I see what's going on here. I mean, I noticed it before, but I didn't quite fully realize. But I started to feel so insecure at work, and I'm like, this is just not right. You know?
Yeah.
These girls are just walking around with their plunging necklines, and I'm like, give me another scarf. Let me try to pull this up. You know, it's just, it's like you're trying to hide who you are.
Yeah.
I mean, it's probably the same thing as if you've been discriminated against for your ethnicity or something like that. You know, when you're like aware, all of a sudden you're aware that you're, you know, a certain skin color or certain features.
Right.
And
you're different.
And you're constantly aware of that. And then you're like, oh, you know?
Yeah.
It's kind of probably... You know, it's probably not as severe as that kind, but there is something, there's a similarity there.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
I mean, have you ever experienced anything like that or any discrimination for being Jewish or Israeli?
No, or for having a big bulge or something? No, I don't think so.
A big what?
Bulge.
A bulge?
Yeah.
What's your bulge? Is that a dirty joke? Are you talking about your nose?
No, not my nose, my junk.
Oh.
It was supposed to be a joke. You ruined it for me.
Bulge. That's funny.
Yeah.
Watch out. Here I come. And there it is.
Yeah.
Watch out.
Yeah, but no, I never had... I don't know. Has anybody ever picked on me for anything? I don't think so.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
Did you watch the Grammys? Anybody watch the Grammys?
No, not really. You know, I mean, I just read about it and stuff, and I understand that there were a lot of upsets. And so forth. Lady Gaga, Eminem did not get it. Their prizes there. So, it was that other group, I guess, that won, whatever their name
is. Arcade Fire won Best Album of the Year,
right,
which I've heard is great, actually.
Is it really?
It's a different genre, though.
Yeah. But there were some good performances, I believe.
Yeah.
It's just on the TV in the hotel, I couldn't find the right channel to watch it. So I just figured, what the hell, you know. So I sat by the pool. I also got, like, for $20 more, they give you, like, this exclusive club membership. And then you can go, to this lounge on the 13th floor. And they had appetizers and hors d'oeuvres and things like that.
Oh,
so
really?
It was pretty cool, yeah.
Wow.
Excuse me, wow. I'm, like, choking on my whatever. So, yeah, so that was nice, you know. And the weather was beautiful. I wanted to go out in the water, like, with a jet ski or something, but it seemed too cold. The water seemed too cold.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and the wind was
cold. The Pacific Ocean is always cold.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, there's cold currents here.
It's one of these things where you're like, oh, the ocean, it's hot outside. And then you get in and you're like, it's that ice.
Yeah, it's fucking freezing.
Get me out of here. And you're like turning blue.
Yeah. You know, I've lived here for 30 years. I don't think I've ever gone in the water.
Oh, really?
On the beach. Yeah. You know, maybe my feet. That's about it. It's just freezing, you know, and sometimes it's dirty. You know, the water's not that clean.
Well, so. I think the water's pretty clean here compared to where I'm from because I'm from the Gulf. So the Gulf looks like iced tea.
Right.
Right by Texas is what I'm saying. Because the Mississippi dumps there.
Right.
And so it's just from a distance it looks blue. You get up and it's, you know, it's dark and murky.
Really?
You're like, oh.
Wow.
You have to go really far offshore to see, you know. But as you go to the Gulf, when you go more towards the Florida side, when you start hitting like, I think Mississippi or Alabama over there, and you start going around the Gulf. Like
Louisiana,
No, further, like Biloxi, Mississippi. It starts to get like greenish than blue.
Really?
It's not like super clear, but then the Gulf side of Florida is just beautiful, though.
Yeah.
It's just really clear and pretty.
Yeah.
Like
the Caribbean,
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty cool.
Such pretty water.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's not like that everywhere. You know, I mean, the Mediterranean is nice, too. It's always warm. It's always clean. You know?
Really?
Yeah. So when you go to Israel, I mean, it's definitely a must to go in the water.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's different. Quite different. But we have cold currents along the California coast, and that's why it's very cold. You know, and that's why we get fog and stuff sometimes.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so that's the situation here. But, yeah, I expected San Diego to be cloudy because it often is. But it was beautiful. It was the same weather as here.
Uh-huh.
You know, you could sit by the pool for a while.
Mm-hmm.
It was fun.
Do you ever think about getting stranded in the water and, like, a big whale coming by?
No, never thought of that.
Have you ever been on a cruise?
What would I be? Oh, yeah, I've been on cruises before.
Have you ever gone to the back and, like, looked out at the ocean?
Yeah,
like,
that's pretty scary.
You know, my roommate
shit.
Sarah worked on a cruise line for a while. And she said there's a lot of speculation that a lot of men kill their wives on cruises.
Yeah.
Like they just
and throw them overboard.
Yeah, because you can't
there
find them.
There have been a couple of them,
You can't find them.
Yeah.
You know? But it's so fascinating to be on a cruise liner in the middle of nowhere in the ocean. And you're just looking around and it's just like ocean, ocean, ocean.
Right.
And you kind of feel safe a bit, but then you look out, you're like, we're so screwed.
I know.
If something goes, we're like, we are outnumbered by the water. We have no, you know, this thing better stay floating.
Yeah.
But
I know, and they're like big cities, those ships.
Yeah. It's crazy. So, but it's fascinating when you stand at the back edge of a cruise line.
When you see the wake and everything. Yeah.
The wake, and you just look out at the water, and you're like, whoa, and it kind of makes you want to jump. Not because you really want to jump, but because you're like, it's so majestic. It's like so big and deep. You're just like, man, it's just so tragic, too. You're like, I could jump in this thing, and then I would never be here anymore.
Yeah, but what scares me is falling over.
Yeah,
overboard,
that would suck,
because
you're like...
Yeah, that's pretty scary shit.
Yeah. That's
especially
crazy.
In the back where the motor is, you know?
Oh, man. Oh, man. But can you imagine getting stranded out in the water like that? And you just...
Wow.
It's just the concept of endless sea around you. Look, everywhere you turn, you just see ocean, ocean, ocean. And you're just like... It's chugging along.
Yeah.
And then what if waves start happening? Big waves like a... Like, what if there somehow is like a storm and you're just hanging out?
Yeah.
I mean, we're so not meant to be there because it's just like, I already feel like dying when I think about it. I'm like, just take me now.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
But it somehow feels safer than a plane, though.
What?
You know?
Drifting on the ship. In the middle of the freaking ocean?
On a ship, on a cruise liner.
Oh.
It's not a big deal. I'm not talking about like a sailboat, sailboat or something.
But have you been in one where you've had a lot of not turbulence? What's it
motion?
Called? Yeah.
Yeah. No. Well, let's see. I've been on a few. I don't even remember. But, you know, I mean, there have been times where you had some waves and stuff, you know, but it doesn't really affect me that much, you know.
Yeah.
It's pretty weird. But, yeah, we're thinking of actually taking a cruise maybe somewhere.
Really?
Yeah. That would be nice. You know, it's a cool thing. You don't have to take a car. You don't have to take money with you. You just pretty much like food and and fun and drinking.
It's like a floating trough of food.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like a restaurant. Hotel.
Oh, yeah, yeah. With nonstop food, you know, you don't pay for it. So it's all included. So you just go from one place to the other and eat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not a big cruise person. I'd rather just go there to the place I want to see.
Yeah. Well, it depends, you know. It depends what kind of experience you're looking for.
That's true.
All right. Well, we're at the end of the show. Kara, thank you so much.
Thanks.
You totally dressed for summer today, but it's wintry outside.
I slept and woke up and had to find stuff that was on my floor.
I see. Okay. But it's not too cold, so you're good. Anyway, everybody, thank you all for joining us. We'll be back here tomorrow.
Been listening to Sam and Kara in the Morning, which airs every weekday from 10 to 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time and originates from the Los Angeles Talk Radio studios. For questions regarding the show or to learn more about sponsorship opportunities, please direct all correspondents to info@latalkradio.com. Sam and Kara in the Morning is a production of LA Talk Radio. We say what we want.